Darkness closed in early. Gellin could see lights above. He waited until they were gone, then longer. They would be scanning in infrared as well. Though his suit reflected almost all his body heat inward to protect him from the cold, a sensitive scan could pick up a human shape in movement. But well after local midnight, he moved, stiffly at first, then more smoothly, toward the lava tube where, he hoped, his survival kit was still concealed. Once in the mouth of the tube, he risked a brief flash of his torch. There it was. And there was Commander Bakarian, a weapon leveled at his chest.
I thought they might have underestimated you. I didn't.
Gellin stared at the weapon.
I will be glad to take your ears. I might even send one to your family.
The thought of Methlin's reaction if she got one of her little brother's ears in the mail made him grin in spite of his fear.
Do that. Yes!
Gellin dove toward her. Gellin pivoted on one suit grapple and slammed both booted feet into her side. He felt the crunch of bone, but she wasn't dead. She would have more than one weapon. He scrambled towards her, raking with the suit grapples. A thin red beam appeared, the rangefinder of her next weapon. Gellin felt something with one glove and yanked hard. Something slammed into his shoulder. Gellin swung elbows, knees, feet, and took hard blows himself, barely softened by the suit. Then the blows weakened. He hit again and again. Gellin didn't know if she was dead or feigning, or if she had been alone. He fumbled around, trying to find the torch, but finally gave up and used the suit's headlamp. His suit grapples glistened, brilliant red in the light. He had torn her face off in that last struggle. An ear dangled from one grapple tip. He shook it free.
She took ears. I am a Mahari.
He was a Mahari who had killed an officer. An officer who was, as far as anyone knew, his legitimate superior merely doing her duty. He couldn't just go tell the sergeant about it. Not this time.
Methlin said there would be days like this.
She had never told him he might have to murder his commander and then figure out how to explain it. He needed to search Bakarian's body. Surely, if she intended some serious wrongdoing, beyond having him killed, she would have some evidence on her. She would not trust everything to an office safe. But not here, not where her confederates might be on their way, alerted by some signal he knew nothing about, or simply by her failure to show up at a meeting. If she had evidence on her, he would have to take her corpse along, or they would destroy it.
Storm coming?
He couldn't wait. Gellin dragged the life raft down the tube to the lip, and then considered what to do with Bakarian's body. Finally, he decided to bring it along. It was heavier than he expected, awkward to heave and tip into the raft, but he secured it carefully before shifting the raft, and himself, to the very edge of the rock. A more violent gust of wind caught it and whirled it through the air to land hard on the water. Gellin almost lost his hold. Even through the PPU, he could feel the water's chill and its power. He yanked the vent control, and the raft ballooned around him. Bakarian's body lurched into him as the raft whirled, tilted, whirled again on the wild waves.